Welcome to the after party. It's time to change. You're just getting started. You can teach an old dog new ways, and not just on Saturday.
Hey, you guys, it's Anna David here with After Party Pod, podcast about addiction and recovery and other super funny topics. This actually is a really funny one, I think, and I'll get into that in a second. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm assuming you're sort of interested in addiction recovery, or you just really liked the name Anna David or the name Fielding Edlow, who's my guest today. That was a teaser. There's no reason not to like that name. It's a pretty awesome name, I have to say. It's not what I wanted to talk about first. What I wanted to talk about first is, what I want to tell you is I have another podcast. And by the time you hear this, my other podcast will have been launched into the world. So I hope you will stop what you're doing and go and download You've Got Issues with Anna David. It's this podcast I've been working on for a long time now. I decided to actually get organized, record a bunch of episodes before I released any. And I cannot tell you how much your support for this podcast would mean. If you go over, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to ask for something up front. That's something I've learned as I've studied podcasting. Yes, I've been studying it because I want this new one to be big and broad and huge. And so if you go and you subscribe and you review and you rate, and even though I'm not supposed to ask you that right now to do it, be awesome if you did, then the chances of it getting into the new and notable category are much better, and you will have made that happen. So that podcast is going to be released every Monday. This is released every other Friday, so you just can get so many podcasts from me, sort of. About this one, it's connected to my website, which is After Party Magazine, which is a part of rehabreviews.com, the world's largest rehab review website. If you need treatment, come there and do a search. We've got over 3,500 reviews all over the world, all over various incomes, plenty that are free. So that's there for you. If you sign up for the newsletter, afterpartynewsletter.com, you will get a copy of our free ebook. It's actually not free. It's $1.99 on Amazon. You'll get it for free. How I Got Sober. 10 addicts share their stories. They're funny. They're good. And you can sign up for the newsletter for the other podcast at issueswithannanewsletter.com. Enough about that. Let's get into today's guest. Now, the thing is, I start off the interview telling her this, so you're going to have to hear this twice, that I really, when I first met her, which was a little over 10 years ago, all I wanted was to be her friend. I didn't really feel like she wanted to be my friend. I think she does. I think that she did, frankly. But the only reason that I learned to meditate was because of her. You know what? I'm gonna let the story speak for itself. The story is not going to speak for itself. I'm going to let you hear she and I talk about it. Anyway, she's a hilarious, brilliant woman. She's a writer, an actor, a stand-up comedian. She's from New York, but she lives in LA. She had this huge solo show called Coke Free Jap, which just killed at the New York City Fringe Festival. And guess what? We know it killed because Showtime made it into a pilot. Now she's been going out on all the writer meetings. She's had plays that have been finalists with numerous conferences. And she now has a show that's out right now called Bitter Homes and Gardens. Yeah, she's a funny one. She's really funny. She's really smart. She's sober over 18 years. And I'm going to stop talking and give you Fielding Edlow.
I first started taking drugs by chewing blocks of hash.
Oh my God, I think my copy has like blood stains on it from shooting up while reading it.
Party animal, I hate to say that because that makes me sound Paris Hilton-y. I was on the, as right. I call it, the Autobahn to nowhere.
I'm very lucky because would you have wanted to have a celebrity junkie for a dad?
I like I, you know, I would just blow up in flames. Like I have to just hit.
Oh, you know, by the way, we're totally recording. So it's good that you got introduced about.
Like, oh, yeah, that was a real slipping in.
That's how we do it.
I like it.
We're really casual. I figured also we would start with something really interesting that you may not know. I was just going to drop this.
Drop
on.
It.
The reason I meditate is because of you.
No.
Do you Tom Knowles. Do you want to know why? So you and I knew each other from meetings. Which
yeah. secret meetings in an underground tunnel. Yeah.
And I was like, I need to be her friend. Okay. So I'm like, hey,
so flattering.
Yeah. No. And I go, hey, Fielding, like, can we go to dinner? And you're like, yes, we had a plan. You don't remember this. And then you go, here's the thing. I agreed to go to this meditation lecture. It was a Sunday.
What a loser I am. I should have gone to dinner. By the way, I apologize for that. We should have gone to sushi.
Do you realize it's been like 13 years and I meditate twice a day because of you? So I agree to go to this thing I don't want to go to because I like wanted to hang out with you. I know. I end up learning meditation. It changes my life. You and I never went to dinner.
True. I love stories like that. And let me tell you, I don't meditate twice a day, right. Barely do the first one, and now I need to reboot. So
this is the
and maybe, and also, by the way, I'm on Twitter because of you.
Wait, what do you mean? Did I tell you to go on?
No, I went on your story, but well, it's a roundabout way that you've invited me on your wonderful storytelling, and I met Jackie Cation. Jackie Cation had me on her. It's just all those
things. And I heard
things.
That you talked about stickers.
I talked about stickers for an hour, so you can tell who's got a life. And then she told me I should just go on. I don't know. I guess it's via you, but I wouldn't have.
I'm not really giving myself credit. This story does not give me credit, by the way. It gives.
But I always think about you that you're the origin. You're the hub.
It's
you're the like yeah, she's like, the centripetal force. You're the hub.
But that's only because I introduced you to her.
Yeah, like, you always talk about the thing about the person who introduced you,
right.
Like.
Right.
I probably would have met Jackie, but you created such a cozy, intimate,
nice.
That we talked.
Okay, yes.
All right, you're not going to give it to yourself. That's fine.
Well, it's pretty roundabout. Like, I also know those things where you have an immediate association with someone who really didn't
right,
get you into
right,
it, but like
right.
for whatever reason.
Or but then she introduced me to other, I don't know, but I was like, it was Anna David. It was just a your
okay,
event.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
So I'm glad I got you meditating. I need to.
You know, the truth is I exaggerate a little bit when I say I do it twice a day, but I've done it consistently since.
No,
have you? Pretty consistently.
I think at post kid, it went the fuck out the window and now I try, but yeah, like, no, I mean, I do it at some point in the morning between 3 minutes and 15 minutes every
mm-hmm.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. And some mornings I skip if it doesn't, and then, but I go back to it, but it's always different. If you check your fucking email or Facebook, the meditation, it's different.
Well,
you know what I mean?
What I do is I have a thing where I read Jeff Kober's newsletter before.
I heard you talking about that, and I meant to text
you.
No, I'm like, who is this Jeff Kober?
Really? You don't know him?
No, I don't.
Well, he learned.
I thought he was a gymnast.
That's insane. First of all, I'm surprised you haven't met him around secret clubs. But second of all, he learned meditation from Tom, and I would say he's the reigning meditation Vedic meditation teacher in LA, at least to me.
Thank you.
He's amazing.
I'm gonna go to him. So or do something with him.
Do something with him. Well, here's a easy way in is subscribe to his newsletter. Just Jeff Kober.
Right. You read it in the morning.
Read it in the morning.
Okay.
Every morning, because it's about Vedic meditation. And it's like a thing to just sort of get your mind in
Thank
the right
you.
Place. Except I don't know that I don't read it because it gives me an excuse to check my email. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, meaning you scroll. You hit Jeff, but you scroll.
Well, I have to look at my email to get the newsletter.
Maybe you should print it out the night before and put it by your altar.
It comes at 6
Do you have an altar, Dana?
You know what? I have that. That's not what it's called, right? What's it called? No, it is called an altar.
Yeah.
I have one. But I never really like use it.
I used to like really go to town.
What's
like in early sobriety, I'd have like a lace doily and a candle and a book and like some kind of talisman or like
Do you have a Buddha?
I have.
And do you have a God box?
I did.
Yeah.
And then nothing came true.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I guess I believe in them. It's like vision boards. It's like I don't know. I put up like women I was attracted to.
I didn't know that you were like bi.
Oh, am I making it sound like I'm bi? No, yes. I just realized I made two gay references and now I'm blushing. For all of you who are listening to this, I'm blushing beet red and I'm not bi.
I don't see the blush, listener, so maybe this is all a cover. But I knew you had like a thing. I think it was in your story that was in the book. Yeah. I think.
That's so embarrassing for me that for some reason I'm promoting gay. When I was gay for a month in early sobriety. I had a girlfriend for a month and I'm not. Here's the thing. If my husband, who's old, and if
he's not old.
Yes, he is.
Older than
he's
you?
In his 50s.
He looks good.
He does look good.
Yeah.
A little chubby. Chubby can help with that.
He does. I mean, because no one else.
Yeah. No, and he knows it. He's character actor. Yeah. He's the guy who's like corner number six in the Mysteries of Laura. But he... Yeah, so I'm just saying I don't want Larry to die. But let's say he dies in his 60s of cholesterol. I would... His joke is I moved to Paris and I live with a woman.
Right.
And I'm not bi.
Right.
I felt like the one girlfriend I had, I just wish I could have done it differently.
What do you mean?
That was like my one romp, and now I'm married, and now it's over. Unless he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know what the world could bring. Maybe the two of you will bring in a third.
We've talked about it. See? And then he goes, I'll be in the closet.
Right.
And I'm like... But where does that get anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be weirded out that you're
in
just
there in
what
the
you're
closet.
Listening right, to like lesbian right. sounds. This is really this off is, track.
I know. I'm glad that we got into Sprite, but it's so much more interesting.
Yes, of course.
Sometimes I just get tired of talking about Sprite.
I'm not here to even talk about it. I mean, listen.
But let's talk about it anyway, because you're going to make it more fun and interesting than usual. How long are you sober? We're about the same, right?
We're about the same, I think, too. Yeah, 1997. So I have 18 years in December.
Oh, you know, you have way more. I didn't know that.
What do you mean way more?
I'll be 16 in November. Okay. That's considerable amount more.
I don't think so. You act like you have 8 years. We're double digit.
Yeah. It's just so many years.
I don't like saying it now because I feel like I'm the Jewish Jessica Tandy when I say it, and people think, you know what I mean? When I do comedy, I'm like, you know, I'm like over a decade. Like, because when I say 18 years, people look at me like. And I'm like, oh, I got sober as a zygote. Or which isn't even that funny.
Right.
And they're like, okay, loser.
The thing is, that's what's happened. I'm obsessed with aging in not a good way. And as if there's a good way to be obsessed with aging.
But, got it.
But when I say I'm almost 16 years sober, all I hear is I'm so old.
Yes.
And that's...
Yes. And I hate it. It's not even like I'm not even proud of my sobriety. No. All I hear is that like I'm fucking a giant stegosaurus. Like, just old.
I know.
And then you probably experience maybe like the surreal thing of how days accrue and you don't even know how it even happened. And it's kind of this surreal experience of like, you know, I've seen people die and go out and all this shit. And you're like, I don't know why I stayed because I eat a cake now instead of drinking.
Yeah, just because I'm super alcoholic about everything.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. But I didn't drink today. I'm a winner.
I know.
Just stop it. You're not a winner.
I know. It's too bad that just wears off. That just like
it does.
Ride in like yeah. what an accomplishment.
Like I think the first 3 years, I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe five. I really like that. Sorry, I'm looking at a blue fridge.
It's a really nice fridge. Yeah. Do you call that blue? I mean, I call that a little like turquoise blue.
What's that? Sir?
I don't know colors. I never know colors, flowers, or dog types.
Me too.
Really?
And I don't like the Beatles.
I do like the Beatles. I don't love them.
No. I'll change the Today shift.
But you were saying something super interesting. What was it?
Old. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially when, I don't know, you're just kind of like, here's my thing. I want to be, when I'm 74, I want to have 50 years of sobriety. That's the only thing. It's a competitive thing. Like, I want to be like, wow, like she really hung in there. And I'll probably like skin hanging off me and weird jewelry and piercings. And I'll probably be saying, I don't know. I almost feel like my sobriety was better years ago.
1,000%.
Right?
Yeah.
My story is like weird now. Like I'll take pieces and I'll, you know, it just feels like a different era.
Well, I was way more into it.
Which is why sponsees are great, because I have a sponsee now, and you're like, oh, yeah, I was that girl. You see why, you know, we're supposed to help another lady, and then, like, you know, but you're like, you're over it.
I'm not that good at that. I'm really not. I'm good at being of service in other ways.
Yeah, I see you making a great pot of coffee. and getting there early.
I'm so not that girl.
Really?
Oh my God, no.
Okay, well, just so you know, whenever I've seen you at the secret club.
Yeah.
First of all, being of service, you look great.
Thank
so
you.
So guess what?
It's that
kids,
service.
That's being of service. Because I'm not joking. To harken it back, is that to gay? Yeah. I would pick sponsors because they were beautiful. I right. had a big rack and I liked their pink sneakers. And I'd stare at their pink sneakers. And I'm right. not joking you.
Oh, I had a supermodel as a sponsor yes, for a while.
Yes. I mean, literally.
And like a famous actress.
Yeah. And, oh, I've thought about that. Yeah, and then yeah. I took an actress's name. Mm-hmm. This was in OA. Mm-hmm. Took her name and her number off the list and called her only because she was an actress and was like, I heard her share and I was like, I'd love to talk to you about your four step.
Right, right, right.
Left her that voicemail. Like, right. who the fuck? Like, she wants to call me and talk about her four step.
But I will say the supermodel was like a good sponsor. She was into
I'm
it.
I'm sure she was.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to have a supermodel as a sponsor.
It was interesting. It was super interesting.
Yeah. Looks and whatever keeps you coming back.
But like, this thing about old is. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that was the whole podcast with Jeff Rosa.
I know. It's great to hear a guy talk yeah. about aging. I'm sorry. He was like, it's hard. He said it's harder for a man.
I know. He's.
Did you let him? Do we let him get away with that?
No, he thinks everything's harder for him, you know?
He should just have his own podcast on aging.
I know he should. I mean, here's the thing is we're not old.
No. I firmly believe that.
Except I don't firmly believe that. That's the problem.
That's when anyone asks you how many years you have, like, I almost don't want to take a cake anymore for my anniversary.
Oh, so awful. I know. I know. But I mean, I literally was talking about this morning at a secret club with this girl who is 30 and is like 9 years sober.
Okay.
Fuck her.
Yeah. Seriously. I get angry. Yeah. And so isn't that's pathological. I should be happy for that 18, 19.
Yeah. It's just like,
it's actually really annoying.
It's really obnoxious.
It is obnoxious. No, and by the way, she'll probably go out.
No.
Just
if
joking.
If you are listening and you are young, it's awesome. I just am jealous of her youth.
I'm a Yiddish jealous magpie.
Right.
Okay? That's what I am. God bless that girl. She's probably going to sponsor me. Yeah, right. Minute. Yeah.
but like I could be, and you could be 18 years not sober. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, oh, that's the thing. Like, oh, I have people I have a friend I went to rehab with who can't stay sober.
Yeah. So it's like, no, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up. And you went to rehab. That's so cool of
Isn't
you.
It?
Were you like Gia and like our Girl Interrupted? Like, I feel like you were like the slut and badass of rehab.
Movie. Can we Gia. Just talk about that movie?
My favorite movie.
Well, first of all, it was like I discovered Angelina Jolie.
Of
like,
course.
You know what I
and
mean?
And don't you think it was like Madonna and Desperately Seeking Susan? Like, she slipped right into.
Never got into that one.
But I'm just saying it was her, like,
oh, God, I loved her
swan
so
song.
Or it practically made me a lesbian.
Yeah, good for
okay.
you.
Was
yeah.
that the thing that yes. switched you?
Well, she's a little skinny for me. Mm. And I don't need her to get a vial of my blood around her
right.
neck.
But
no, she's hot. No, she's hot.
And in that movie.
And young hot.
And she
yeah.
made lesbianism just look so sexy.
Did she scissor in that movie?
Can't remember that.
Okay.
I just remember that like there was like a thing where she's like naked oh. and she's like up against a fence.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a modeling
show. That
shoot.
Was hot.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So.
Lady boner time. No, that was great. Yeah.
But so, okay. But here's the thing. I did outpatient treatment. But oh. I think it sounds cooler to say I went to treatment.
Don't, by the way, just a little tip, don't say outpatient treatment.
But I did.
But
because this is why it's important.
I know, rigorous honesty.
Well, and people will say, that won't work. And they told me that when
oh,
I said I was going to
really?
Do it. And
I actually don't even know what that means exactly. You were at home and checked into mm-hmm. like a place every day.
I had
day.
A job. And if I oh. left the job, if I took a leave, I was going to lose the job.
Oh.
And like I felt oh. like my esteem was so,
yeah.
you know, that it would impact my sobriety negatively.
Right.
So I had a deal with Promises West LA where I would just drive over there at 5 o'clock to Venice.
Commitment.
Seriously.
You laid a foundation. You really laid a template.
And I would drive
in traffic,
there.
You're like 4:05, that's sobriety.
And I was willing. I was just like, that's
yeah,
cool.
No,
this
I
is.
Get
and
that.
Every day I went there and I got there at like 6 o'clock and I would have the evening groups with the people who were inpatient.
I feel like that's very sweet. It's almost like Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Like you have a community every like I think that's kind of beautiful. Like I've never done a 90-90. I've never had
Me
like
either.
An everyday thing.
Yeah. In the beginning, didn't you just sort
maybe
of
maybe a
go
seven
every
and
day?
Seven? I didn't.
Really?
I didn't. I mean, I always went probably make it four times a week.
Interesting.
And then it would just, it's just been 3 times a week for like ever. You know, probably more sometimes.
You do hear people say, and I've sort of done it, like you step it up, you go from 3 or 4 to 7 and you feel amazing.
I'm sure.
And it is possible.
I had such an ego though. Like my thing was like, I don't need more friends. I barely did fellowship. I remember my first friend. Like I wasn't that person.
I know. Because like, remember I tried to go to dinner with you and I got taken to a meditation class.
I only sit with you with a group of people.
Yeah.
No, and that's to a fault.
I was hurt. I think I might have had a resentment. I think I was hurt. I think that I felt rejected.
But then look what you got. The bounty you reaped because we didn't go to fucking Terry's Tacos. We went.
Yes.
I think you know what? We're going to have that dinner.
I think
and I don't
might,
know when. Yeah.
Maybe,
or may not.
Maybe when we're 70 and 50 years
yeah,
sober.
Exactly.
So you guys are in New York. Is that true?
I got sober in New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was, my little outpatient was, I was about to say the name of the meeting.
Whatever people do, but you don't need to. Okay.
Right. Well, anyway, the meeting was on 22nd and like 3rd. I lived on 22nd and Park. Uh-huh. And I remember being such an egotistical little entitled snot that when I called intergroup, I'm like, it's got to be in the neighborhood.
Right.
Like, where is it? I'm not traveling. And then ironically, I travel all over the world to go to a meeting. But, and I did. So I got sober in New York and it was, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about this too, because, you know, I'm where I am work-wise. Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge thing for me. Like, you don't get anything just because you stay sober. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just said to my husband, this is what I caught myself saying, all right, like, what if I'd spent my 20s, you know, doing stand-up or doing real work? Because I was such a scared wildcat that I was so paralyzed with fear. Instead of fucking batiking, journaling, stickering, meeting, outside help. Like, it's all I did. And yes, I went to improv groups. And yes, I did stuff. But my husband just looked at me and was like, you didn't have anything to say.
Right.
On some level, like, you weren't ready to really do anything. You were just feeling. And, you know, I'm like, why wasn't I Variety's top 2,000 guys or whatever?
Right.
And he's like, and it's kind of helpful and ego deflating to be like, it really, things happen when they're meant to happen. And I've had that long, slow recovery, like, beyond.
Yeah.
You know?
I do believe that. And it carried me through, you know, the first like 12 year or whatever. Like I do believe that inherently it happens when it's meant to, how it's meant to.
Yeah.
And that certainly helps us. We shall not regret the past.
Yes.
But I had the same thing where I was useless all through my 20s.
Oh my God.
And how about these like high functioning people who like accomplished stuff in their
20s? Oh yeah. Oh, what about drunk people who are having,
I know,
just a tsunami of success? I mean, I don't know what they're doing, if they're, you know, snorting lines on their bidet or if they're having sex with an elf. You know, you never know, but it's like keep my look at my own side of the street and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I met a lot of like, listen, you know, I'm a person. I literally was like a robot. I was like a sex robot when I came in. I was like a personality magician. Just, it was a real, like, inside out, ground zero job.
Talk about the sex robot thing. It was too good to let you just get away with that.
Where did I even get that? I mean, listen, I think that a lot of my bottoms or the you know, incomprehensible demoralization was like, I'm fucking someone I wouldn't even talk to sober. Right. And this isn't even me being like lower companion or I'm better. It's just literally just not a person I would connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like, my virginity was basically lost in a bathroom at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and there's a part of me that kind of liked that because I don't give a shit. So it was like a lot of like the drinking, the alcohol was like hand in hand with like just throwing my body at whoever, not caring. And like being kind of like, it was almost like male alcoholic. Like at the end on this apartment I had, like my friend Nick had the keys. I'd go out to dinner and there would just be 10 guys in my living room doing coke.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I thought I was like living, you know, the movie Kids, which I wasn't, you know.
Right. Or like, the movie Gia, minus
Let's
the
go back to Gia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I was like Nico, but not Nico. Just bloated and the self-esteem of a muskrat, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the same thing. Everybody had the keys to my apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all gay dudes, though.
Oh.
West Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it safer.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even, you know, that was just, that was who, that was my crowd.
Yeah, no, I wish I could have used more help, like more gays around me.
Yeah, well, also, mine was strict cocaine. Oh. So I really luckily didn't get into any trouble with boys and all of that stuff because they were all gay and we were doing coke. We weren't interested in having sex. We were interested in talking about our amazing business
ideas. It was like a Whit Stillman movie. That sounds wonderful.
More depressing. And those movies are depressing.
But then you don't get pregnant or an STD, which I'm grateful I didn't either. Yeah. But I'm lucky, you know. Yeah, I did. Have you ever done coke with a deaf guy?
Actually, I have to think about that. I did a lot of drinking with a deaf guy, but no coke.
Yeah, maybe it was the same guy I banged.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So New York and drink, but mostly drinking and some coke.
Yeah, we had some coke. And then it just, you know, it. I think the marvelous trifecta of coke, eating disorder, and alcohol got me in early-ish.
Right.
I can't even say early anymore in this day and age. People are coming in at like 2.
I know.
It's like 24, and I went, you know, to like never had a legal drink, that awesome meeting.
Right,
I had,
right.
There were like high school kids there talking about like field hockey practice was really tough today.
I know.
And then you want to kick them in the balls.
Right, right.
But New York was great for like bopping around and just like hitting a meeting, hitting a diner with friends, and you know, hitting that writer's group. I like slowly realized that like what was honestly going to save me was creativity and just getting it like all of that out. And when I got sober, I was in an acting class and my teacher had said, just write a truthful monologue, which I'd never written anything. And of course I went away with my family and I wrote 20 and I'm sure they're all horrendous. Like, but it wasn't horrible, the one I did. And then I just started writing. Like I'd write one act called like Perry's Dusk and she'd be wearing like a pink boa and like, and it was all like completely autobiographical and people were like, oh, so you're writing about yourself. And then that just, you know, evolved into a one person show where it was really like Girls in AA. You know.
Wait, Girls the show or?
Oh, that would be a big no.
But
other sober women,
that
others,
was your,
you know,
like
deal.
Yeah,
because even when I'm such a person where I really had to debunk the mythology of like the sponsor is going to save you or the person in power. I had a big thing with like someone has power over me or something.
Right,
that was like a big with my dad issue. So when you just like call up a friend, commiserating with a friend, that was so healing for me because you also, I also realized, oh, not everybody has the answer and they don't have my answer.
Right, right, right. I know it is really interesting. You know, it's really hard to not put like a sponsor, a therapist and all of that stuff, those people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I still struggle with that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Anyone who I think has some kind of illusory power.
Yeah.
I my stomach clenches up or I feel a little, or I'm not totally authentic. So that's something I'm working on now. It's just being completely authentic.
What do you mean?
In front of who? Being myself, no matter if it's the guy at fucking Ralph's or I'm in a meeting about my, you know, whatever project, that it's just, I'm enjoying myself. I think that's the thing. Like, am I having fun? And even if I'm feeling really nervous right before, you know, I'm just sort of like, oh, I've been here. I never did inner child, Anna. I hate my inner child. I don't like inner
what
child.
What do you mean? Like that
inner child
work?
Shit.
Yeah.
Like I think my inner child's like a bulimic whore. Like
right,
I just don't
right,
have it.
Right, right.
But I have to tell you, in the last month, 18 years in, I just started calling her Lizzie.
What is this? What's happening right now?
And it's working. I always hated people who talked about it.
What do you mean? So you just
like there's
like,
a little girl inside me.
I mean, I know the concept, so, but I just don't get it really. So you're like a month ago, you were like, there's a Lizzie inside of me.
Yes.
Okay. And how did that happen? Like, how did that?
I go to this meeting where it gets talked about a lot.
Interesting.
All the time. And I was like violently judging in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like I almost left the meeting.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey. Let's stop it. Just stop it. And then, you know, that osmosis thing. And then I really respected the person who's talking about it. And then it has. And then I'm like, what do I have to lose? I used to, in early sobriety, carry around a stuffed orangutan and Velcro the paws around my neck just to make myself feel better, to stop throwing up my food. So then I was like, I'm just going to welcome Lizzie.
So interesting. I don't think that would ever happen to me.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes, I was
like
in
little Anna. Like, oh, ten. God, like, what did you play cringe. A sport?
No.
Sorry.
Okay. Was that your way in?
No,
I did ballet. I did.
Did you love ballet?
Theaters.
Did you love music? Were you somebody?
I loved music.
Were you
theater.
A Vita? Were you in?
No, I was
Twilight?
Always. I was always got the big dance part.
So, what was the most joyful thing you did in childhood? One activity, ballet?
Yeah, like writing and like.
Were you like Claire in the Nutcracker and you're like hiding the gold?
Not at all. I was always the like, I never got the lead. I always felt like with writing and dance, I was always good enough, but never gifted, you know?
Oh.
I mean, which is fine. Yeah. Who knows? Because it's not about being gifted. By the way, success is not about being gifted.
Yeah.
I don't think
But I feel like you're very gifted in both those areas.
Well, you've never seen me dance.
So I know you have a dancer's body. Look, now I'm hitting on you. Now who's gay?
I heard about you in the beginning of this episode. No, but I did group therapy where you had to write a letter with your left hand when you're in trouble. And I just cringe, you know? And I did another group therapy.
I'm the same.
Thing,
I know.
Where you had to hold a stuffed animal and like be with your child. And I just.
Well, I think those suck.
Okay.
I don't know who your group leader was, but.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm just saying, I'll try anything at this point.
Right.
So whatever makes me feel, because at some point I don't know, embarrassed or like, I don't, when I judge myself, like, why am I feeling so anxious and I'm here? But the goal is not to judge it and just be like, okay, who needs comforting?
Right.
Like I had the sponsors like, put your hand over your heart and call yourself sweetheart.
Really?
So that one I'll do, but I'll just whisper sweetheart.
So when you're anxious, that's your little girl freaking out.
And I've only done it maybe 3 times, and I don't know. I think it's also about contrary action and like I do feel like there's this little girl inside me who's jumping up and down and be like, I want to play. Why isn't anyone letting me play? Mm. Why haven't I gotten out there more? Mm-hmm. Like, she just wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is humbling and sad and hopeful and okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, and like reframing it that way, except it's funny you brought up girls instead of being like, why aren't I fucking Lena Dunham? Like that's a rabbit hole that's so pernicious and so toxic.
See, I don't have that.
You're so lucky.
Because I'm like, she's so far beyond. I mean, my thing with her, I've actually talked about in this podcast, is people hate, you know, people are so violently jealous because they think she got all these breaks. My jealousy of her is that she had parents that were so loving and supporting and
nurturing. I know.
That at 22, she could access what it takes the rest of us.
I'm totally with
you.
You
know?
And then in the end, but I also will say I've been able to let it go completely, is that she worked really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I think, we'll give it.
I don't resent people who are talented. I don't think I'm ever jealous of people who are talented.
That's amazing.
Jealous of people who are undeserving of their success.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Where I think the ego, or they're not like grateful, or they just kind of.
That doesn't bother me that much.
The undeserving.
Yeah, the people who I think waltzed into it because I think I should have, you know?
Right. My friend and I, she has a pretty successful husband, and, you know, my husband works. So we thought up this group called SUS, which stands for Spouses of Undeserving Success Stories.
Right.
And we just want to meet and be like, because it's also when you're. Like, Larry gets all the accolades.
So he works that much?
Yeah, he works pretty steadily as a character actor. You're not going to recognize him.
Right,
be like, is that the morgue? Is that the morgue attendant on, like, Bones? But, no, he does well. I guess I'm saying this. He is very deserving.
Right.
But in terms of talent. Her husband is, too. I would say more my husband is just like, he's getting a massage right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you could be, too. Do you know what I mean? And your little girl probably wants that. But
does Lizzie want a massage?
Lizzie might. But we're such.
Correct.
Like, I mean, it's partially just like being like a sort of smart, assertive Jewish woman.
Yes.
I'm just going to say.
We're similar, I think, in terms of like driven.
You have to be.
I mean, I don't think I would allow myself to get a massage in the middle of the day.
I would never. I'm happy to get them at night.
Happy to get them at night.
Yeah.
I think it's weird at 7 in the morning. But at night.
I think it's weird. Well, it's just like the day is for accomplishing.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're not like work obsessive though, are you?
In terms of like work ethic or work results or just
like
in general?
The amount of time you put into it and the way you think about
not
it.
Not at all.
But you think about it
a lot. I think about it. I'm always spinning of just ideas and jokes or ideas or things. But I think I've seen good results from leaving myself alone, and I can be really productive for like 3 or 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And then what else do you do? Well, you have a child.
I have a child now. And that sounds like, wow, you've got a lot of time on your hands, but it's amazing how you can fill up the day.
Not really. Yeah. I think with like being a mother and then working 3 or 4 hours a day, that sounds like
it's a good, it takes up the day. I'll say that. I will definitely work more, but really it's just me sitting around. I don't know. Like there's just business to do, but I'd like to do it in the morning. But that's my thing. Like, I'm ready to work more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a little bit sick of, like, this little bubble I'm in. Mm-hmm. That isn't to say I'm letting myself off the hook, but, like, ready to be on a staff or like just something different.
Okay, so what would be your dream then?
I wrote a web series. I know. Who hasn't? My rabbi, I feel like, has a web series called I don't know. So it's being shopped out there. It was produced and it's called Bitter Homes and Gardens. And I would love that to go to either on the internet or cable series and like run the show with a seasoned showrunner because I have no experience or something like that would be absolutely a dream. I got close to a show that didn't get picked up on NBC, like very close. So that didn't happen.
It's a staff writing job.
I got super, super close this time and then it wasn't picked up. So.
Right, right. So you have like, I didn't know this. So you started writing TV spec scripts.
Yeah, I wrote a girl spec.
Okay, yeah.
And then, yeah, I've written a bunch of specs and I go out every season. I've gotten close. But
since
I feel
when
like
have you been doing that?
I did a one act at Circle X that CAA came to and then they signed me. And ever since then I've been, right. And that was like 2006, I want to say. So I sold my one woman show, Coke Free Jap, I sold a pilot to Showtime based on that. And that was when I was pregnant. So that was like such a like me getting the message. Cause I was like, I'm not having a baby cause I need to be successful.
Right.
And the biggest thing I had was when I was sitting in the office.
So it
pregnant.
Just seemed like everything happened.
Everything happened. Like, and then all my dreams stopped. Right. Or
I know. 2006 was a really good year for me too. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's just
amazing.
Stay like that.
Yeah. I'm like, guys, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the economy crashed. Don't you kind of blame that?
I blame Lehman Brothers pretty much.
Yeah.
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 It's all that. So that's been going on. And then stand-up sort of got improv stopped. Stand-up got folded in. But yeah, that's been a constant in plays and what have you.
Right, right. And you have a show. But isn't that a storytelling show right now?
That's a pure stand-up.
Pure stand-up show. So that's what's going on right now. It's the third Friday of every
third
month.
Third Friday of every
at
month.
The improv.
Yeah. Called Eat, Pray, Fuck.
Eat, Pray, Fuck. And and then what else are you doing?
So I feel like I'm incubating or waiting because a play I wrote called ICU was up at Circle X in the fall. So that's like a bunch of people have it in New York. So the dream is to get that in New York. And yeah, I mean, I guess I started another play and I'm doing stand-up and it feels like that's enough
now. Yeah.
And I'm submitting. There's a job I want to be in New York. I'm just going to say it now. I want to be in New York 6 months.
Okay, but not move.
No.
Okay.
And then everyone can pack up in the caravan and follow me.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. I just went to my high school reunion.
You did?
And I had that magical walking back along the West Side Highway with drunks coming out or barfing or someone getting a roll and magical.
Right. Because magical in what way?
In that there was a pulse or an energy in New York. I grew up in the city and I feel like I need a change of almost topography or terrain.
Okay,
and
but
people.
Hold on. Isn't that magic only exists when you're visiting New York?
Yes, correct. But I can be of service to my 101-year-old grandmother.
Wow.
Who, by the way, folks, if you're married, I'm going to tell you something right now.
What?
My grandmother has had two husbands. She doesn't remember either of them. The person she remembers is the guy she banged, the married man she banged in between. That's the only one she remembers, to the point where she dissolves into giggles and blushing and laughter when I say Oscar Dube.
Oh my
God. She goes, how could I have done that? And she doesn't remember her husband.
But out of shame, she says, how could I have done that?
No, almost like pride.
Right, right,
like giggling
how
pride. Yeah,
Oscar?
And then inevitably goes, do you think he's still alive? And I go, no, he'd be 100. Literally, he'd be 120.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, I don't want him now. But maybe someone else.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Runs in our family, the male obsession.
Well, I have two grandmothers on both sides were married 3 times apiece.
Oh, wow.
They didn't do that back then. Well, apparently your grandmother sort of did.
Yeah. But yeah, she was a bit of a floozy. I mean, she will say, oh, God, I'm going to dinner with women. I can't even. It's the most depressing thing in the world.
She still goes out to dinner?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
But when she did, I always call her on Saturday night because she's like, Saturday night's the loneliest night of the year.
Right, right. She wants to be on a date.
Yeah.
What?
So you had those marriages, grannies.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah,
ish, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit.
Get something you want. Yeah. Don't stay with something that sucks.
Yeah. I wonder if they got what they wanted. Unclear.
Maybe in a documentary.
But, okay, wait. So I do feel like we should talk a little bit more about addiction and recovery, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's all about addiction and recovery because this whole thing is recovery.
Listen,
sure. Would you say that what have been your best sober years?
Whoa, right? Great question.
Yeah.
I loved moving out here. It was like brave new world and being single because I had a therapist who, and I guess I was 8 years sober because my second last therapist, or I've had so many, and she's like, I have nothing to tell you except move.
Wow.
I literally have nothing. And I was paying her a handsome amount.
Right. Good for her. And yet you want to move back to New York, you just said, which is interesting.
I know.
So.
But I've sort of gotten out of the clutches of my emotionally incesting dad and my narcissistic mother.
Right.
We've retooled that and they're wonderful grandparents, blah, blah, blah. So I moved here and it was just, and even though I still actually was compulsively overeating and had that and would be sitting in Starbucks eating 5 maple oat scones in daylight and anyone could see me, I got to like try IO and I had 2 best friends from Trinity who would just, I was like the third wheel and they would take me everywhere and I could just date and try improv and there wasn't that pressure because I was 30.
Right.
I was 30 and I found new meetings and it was like, Fielding was carving out a life for herself.
Right.
Because there was a lot, there was like this vortex and morass of just, I mean, it was like an emotional holocaust.
Right.
So I loved, and I will say even to my husband, God, I really miss those years when I had an apartment in West Hollywood and had parties.
Yeah.
He's like, fine. And he's so like Irish and blustery. Right. He's like, fucking, I don't give a shit. Like, do it. But so that was great. I guess, sure. The first year with my daughter.
But okay. It was an exhausting year.
Yeah,
but
was,
you know.
Well, we had help. Uh-huh. Wasn't that exhausting?
Yeah.
I know. It was just kidding. It was exhausting.
No. Yeah. Of course you didn't have help. That's not true. Now, what's interesting.
And then the first couple years too. And then it got really hard, which I think I've heard you talk about. I had a similar experience. The pink cloudy where it's like, all I have to do is get my, you know, coffee and go to Weekenders.
Yeah, and just like...
And be like the cute new sober girl.
I mean, but here's the weird thing is...
Dreamy.
How many people do you meet? Most people, I would say, are like early sobriety was awful.
Yes.
And I'm like, how do you do it then? Because I felt like... I couldn't, the reason it was quote unquote easy for me to get sober is that I was given this life I'd always kind of dreamed of, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you had a lot more going on than I did. And that's such a testament to you. Like I didn't have,
The thing is I had nothing on before. So the dichotomy between what had been going on and then like even having a job, let alone a job I really wanted was like shocking transition, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I didn't find, I mean, listen, it was like, you know, a lot of crying and blah, but it's like, I just like put myself in people's hands. Like this weird surrender of like, I'll call you.
Yeah.
You've got one tooth, but I'll call you.
Right.
I'll call you. You seem like a psycho, but I'll go to coffee with you.
With the 9 people. Remember, you'd go to like coffee with 9 people and breakfast and you'd talk and then you guys would be like, do you want to go to a movie?
Oh my God. You know? I mean, again, I didn't do that much.
I think I did.
Yeah. I mean, I would go to, what was that diner in New York? I want to say like... But yeah, it was at that. Those were almost the most seminal events.
Yeah,
it's just sitting. Yeah. And by the way, I mean, not now. I'm really going to sound like Jewish Jessica Tandy, but it's like no one was checking their phone.
I know.
Guess what? That's a fucking big difference.
I know.
Nobody was checking their phone, I miss that. I sound angry right now. I'm bringing back.
But I check my phone more than anyone.
So do I. But like. And when I would qualify, I remember people coming up and giving me cigarettes. What?
Maybe that's the 2 extra years you have on me.
That's
right. They didn't do that.
That's right.
They didn't do that when I was around. But yeah, it's weird. And I certainly, I'm always, you know, hesitant about making anybody think that, okay, it gets worse. Do you know what I mean? Just you get more aware.
It's a kaleidoscope. It has to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, like you hit, it's like my thing is like the artichoke. It's not the onion.
Oh, interesting.
You're peeling to get to the heart.
Whoa. So there's a goal and you reach there like at 60 when you have.
Yeah, I'm there now. I'm like, I'm not Lena Dunham, but I'm at the heart.
Really? Meaning your life is exactly the way you want it to be?
I'm happy with my life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had a particularly glacial heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like really iced over, really like not like I have always been a kind person. I'm a mm-hmm. generous person, but I was because of the Star Wars defense shield growing up, mm-hmm. it was just, I was almost impenetrable. Like I've cried in front of my husband maybe 10 or 15 times in 10 years, which is not necessarily the marker, but it's just like, I don't want. So anyway, I feel like I'm fine being embarrassed in front of someone, being vulnerable, like just being who I am. And I feel like, I think that's the goal.
Yeah.
And being of service.
Right. Like, is being happy the goal?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, not for me. I think that it's truly, again, because I was such this personality magician and it was exhausting trying to be someone in front. Like I would, being authentic, being exactly who I am. Like my husband too would say this in early sobriety. Someone would be like, "How you doing, Larry?" And he'd be like, "Not so good." Mm-hmm. And to him, that was huge to just be simple and honest where he was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh yeah, that sounds good to me too." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then I know there's always act better than you feel. But I mean, I've always been more anxious than depressed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's even like joy and happiness. That's never been the huge like issue for me. It's calm. More like, can my soul calm the fuck down?
But don't you confuse anxiety and depression?
No. They feel completely different to me.
Interesting. Cause I was at my psychiatrist yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
And she,
tell me.
And she, cause she tells me that she thinks I'm more anxious than suffering from depression when cause I have like more episodic.
Yeah.
And she says that it's because it's my thoughts and because mm-hmm. it's more like, oh my God, I feel sad. Am I going to get depressed? So it's actually more anxiety around it than it is the actual depression.
How does that resonate with you?
It sure doesn't feel like anxiety to me.
It's a tricky, enigmatic kind of ephemeral or just like this. Cause I think mine's so deep that I almost don't know how much I suffer sometimes from anxiety because it's such so cellular.
Yeah.
Just handed down the DNA. So like I know, you know, those moments in my life where I'm completely, it's ebbed completely from my body. And I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like, which is not to say we all walk around, but it's like, oh, I can strive to have that. I'm entitled to have that kind of pocket of serenity.
When you meditate?
Yes.
Every time?
Well, not when I hear my daughter's Paw Patrol in the background.
Right.
You know what? Honestly, I'm so happy that, there are different levels of it. There's like a subterranean level, but I feel like I'm not on my phone. The phone is so big. Like I'm not thinking like I have to answer that email or that text or that mm-hmm. thing. I'm just like in my bubble. So I always kind of latch onto those because I want more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what you're saying because I feel like there's the stuff that I have to do now. So I don't I have had maybe like real spiraling mm-hmm. for like weeks and mm-hmm. now it's days maybe and not weeks mm-hmm. or months or a year. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like, oh, I have to exercise this amount or go to this amount of meetings. And the whole thing is so humbling because you're like, you have this amount of time. I still have to have that. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, what's the alternative?
I know. Well, I need it more. I need to be more diligent about it because like I said, like early sobriety was such a high and having a life and being outside of my apartment and, you know, around men that were not gay, you know, was such a like revelation that was enough. And now I want so much more all the time.
And as our lives get bigger, we actually, the program or I find my recovery has to match my life.
Yeah.
Because how many times, you know, you hear people like, I stopped going to meetings.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you heard that?
I know,
that?
But I can't even imagine that.
No.
And I'm not going to, like, be of service.
No.
Like, I'm going because I need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, I can't imagine. It's just horrifying.
I know.
To think about not having that just phrase, systemic kind of framework that you just, you know, you hear that one thing.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'll think about that for the next, like, 3 or 4 days. I came here to hear that thing.
Yeah.
And maybe tell a newcomer, you know, I like her haircut.
Right. Yeah, I know. I heard some things this morning. I was like, they're so good, and I've already forgotten them. But you don't know that.
You know those people who
–
I've always wanted to be that woman who knits. I thought at 10 years I'd be the knitting woman mm-hmm. because how many thousands of meetings have we been to?
Oh, I was the knitting woman for a
long
time.
You were?
Why
did you drop it?
At the Bliss days I was, for sure.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
And by the way, you exuded a serenity – knitting.
I did. I know.
I remember thinking to myself, I want to be her friend.
Okay. You didn't even remember I knit it.
So, no, it's all coming crashing back to me. No, no, no. I actually remember the color of the sweater.
Okay, okay. I never knit a sweater. I'm not trying to bust you. I only knew how to knit scarves.
I know, and I can never see, picture your seat.
I never could get better because I would only knit in meetings. Oh. So, you know, that's all I could
but
do.
But I mean, listen, I think that's amazing.
But then I did the needlepoint, and then I was just like, you know what? It was all about I couldn't sit still.
I just remember it was really like this entombing or embalming, I don't know what the adjective is, just calming to see women knit.
I know, they don't anymore, do they?
No.
Yeah, they did for a while.
But then, and then, of course, when people take notes, I'm like, what a douchebag. What
are you right, doing? Or they take notes on their phone.
Oh, I don't, yeah, and then I've you don't know that. If they're yeah. sexting or Snapchatting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's start wrapping up. Is there anything you want to, like, I know, right? Good convo.
Yeah, it could have been, like a Peppa Pig sleepover.
Is there anything you want to add, you want people to know, like where can people find you on the interwebs?
They can find me at Fielding Edlow. I just joined Instagram, even though it scares me. Mm-hmm. Definitely come to Eat, Pray, Fuck the third Friday of every month because the lineup's been great and it's a fun
Except
show. It's an hour show.
If you're in LA, you should be coming to the after party starting the show. But we're going to end that at some point. So
do both if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is yours at 8?
Yeah.
Shit.
Okay.
No, you
one month go to Anna's and one month come to Fielding.
Exactly.
And listen, then meet us afterwards for a screening of Gia at my place in Hancock Park. I sound like such an asshole. I sound like such an asshole.
If you really do that, you will show Gia.
No, you'll have an amazing life. If you actually take us up on that, should they get a prize? Or are we the prize?
We're the prize. The three of us, because I'm only picturing one person doing it, will go to your house and watch Gia.
And maybe Jeff Rhoda will show up and tell a depressing story.
Okay, perfect. Okay. No. So that was Fielding Edlow on After Party Pod, your favorite podcast about addiction and recovery. Thank you for listening. Go check out Fielding. Go subscribe to this podcast. Go give it a review. Go check out my other podcast. That's enough ordering you today. Thank you for listening.